are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network and, of course, the Fantasy Radio Network as well. All things football with a little baseball sprinkled on top on this afternoon's program. Dave Malinsky will join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk NFL football week three with the professor. Gary and Thorne, Fantasy Sports Network's very own, joins me in studio. We'll talk some Miami Dolphin footballs. The Dolphins get the Cleveland Browns. The Dolphins have had a murderous schedule, man. They had to open up in the Pacific Northwest and take on the Seattle Seahawks. They should have won that football game. They did it. Then they had to go all the way to the East Coast to take on the New England Patriots. They shouldn't have won that football game, but and they didn't. You know what? It was a late comeback. Now the Dolphins get the Cleveland Browns. In fact, five of the next six Miami Dolphin games are at home in Miami. So the Dolphins aren't out of this yet, even though the Dolphins are 0-2. We can't say the same about a lot of other 0-2 football teams. Mike Cardano will step up and in. Cardano has some baseball picks for us, as well as we're going to talk some football with Cardano as well. We're going to take a look at the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans on Thursday night. Great time of the year right now. We got the World Cup of Hockey going on, and although the thing's kind of a sham and stuff, and the intensity isn't the same as the Olympics, it's a solid product, and we're doing pretty well with our bets on it. We have some more World Cup of Hockey plays for you. Baseball, real interesting right now. But the center of the sports universe is revolving right now around the National Football League. So we're 2 weeks in. Who's the best team in the National Football League right now? Now, after two games, it's hard to make definitive judgments, but let's be real. We've seen teams play right now for eight quarters of football, and we have a pretty good idea about the teams that are in it to win it right now. Remember what Bill Parcells once stated. You are what your record says you are. And right now, the Minnesota Vikings are a 2-0 football team. A Minnesota Viking football team that lost their franchise quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, right before the season starts. We're going to go at it with Sean Hill. I thought they could go at it with Sean Hill. They decide to bring Sam Bradford in. And is this the year that Sam Bradford actually is on a real football team and looks like a real quarterback and actually wins football games? I don't want to get in Mike Zimmer's way right now. The Minnesota Vikings, these guys are 16-2 against the spread in their last 18 football games. Like, I'm a stupid idiot moron. I call a lot of other people losers. I'm the loser. Why aren't I just betting on the Vikings every week? I did last year. This year, I don't know, first game against Tennessee. Week two, I don't know, Sam Bradford's first start. I wimped out and I lost because I'm a loser. The Minnesota Vikings are not losers and are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. The Denver Broncos, defending Super Bowl champions, are they the best team in football? It's always a debate in college football when we talk about the polls. The previous year shouldn't carry over into the next year, but it does. It just does. And certain teams have an advantage at the top of the polls early because they get the benefit of the doubt because of their success in the previous season. The similar situation here with the Denver Broncos. If I'm making power rankings, who's the number one team in the NFL? I don't think Denver's the best team in the NFL, but you'd have to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know what? The Denver Broncos are the exact same team as last year, except better. That's what the Denver Broncos are right now. Their defense keeps cranking it up a notch every week. Right when you think, they can't really play any better defensively, they do. They make plays. They're scoring points right now. Trevor Siemian has been very effective. No worse than what Brock Osweiler or Peyton Manning was giving up. A smart kid out of Northwestern making smart decisions. They're more reliant on C.J. Anderson in the ground attack right now, and the Denver Broncos are no doubt still a force to be reckoned with and aren't going to give up the Vince Lombardi trophy that easily. The demise of the Denver Broncos was clearly premature. Are the New England Patriots the best team in football? They might be. They might be. No Brady, no Gronk, no problem. No Garoppolo right now? Well, no problem against the Miami Dolphins, yet Jacoby Brissett is going to be in tough against the Houston Texans. But, in a couple of weeks, weeks to get some dude named Tom Brady back as the New England Patriots once again are in the mix. And it's amazing right now. We only have 8 undefeated teams already after 2 weeks in the National Football League. 4 of them are actually playing each other, so it's going to be whittled down to a minimum 6. And while we got to give credit to the Baltimore Ravens, yeah, you haven't played anybody. You're 2-0. Good for you. We got to give credit to the New York Giants, who look good, but not great. We got to give credit to the teams that are undefeated, like the Philadelphia Eagles of the world. But right now, the best team in the National Football League are the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, a dominant, lethal offense, a potent offense that's getting it done right now with 3 dudes: Antonio Brown, D'Angelo Williams, and Big Ben Roethlisberger. It took a couple of years for Todd Haley and for Ben Roethlisberger to get on the same page, but not only are they on the same page right now, they're on the damn cover together, all right? These guys are freaking dialed in, and oh yeah, they're getting Marcus Wheaton back, and oh yeah, they're getting Le'Veon Bell back as well. Defensively, they're not going to be confused with the Steel Curtain and the great Pittsburgh Steeler defenses of yesteryear, but I'll tell you what, only 7 teams in the National Football League have given up less points than the Pittsburgh Steelers have playing against the Washington Redskins in Week 1 and then the Cincinnati Bengals in Week 2. They make enough stops to win football games. Before the year started, I told you that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the AFC. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. Jay Cutler's out for a prolonged period of time. And I was just informed that Amir Abdullah might be out for the year. Why wouldn't he be? He's on one of my fantasy football teams. Why wouldn't he be? Danny Woodhead, Keenan Allen, Sammy Watkins isn't out, but he might as well be. And now Amir Abdullah, who actually looked pretty good. And, you know, I even had him, like, in a DraftKings lineup on Sunday. My Daylight Dollar Short, the name of my book. All right, let's bring in the Professor Dave Malinsky, and let's get to as many topics as we possibly can. Dave, I just did an opening rant to open up the show, and I was saying if we were, you know, doing college football rankings, so to speak, as far as the NFL is concerned, for my money right now, after 2 weeks, from what I've seen, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best team in the National Football League. Agree or disagree, Dave?
I still have the Carolina Panthers a slight trickle ahead, and I tell you what I did like on Sunday. For as sloppy as they were, we're starting to see the upper potential of that passing game. Remember that for as good as Carolina was last year, there was no Kelvin Benjamin. Look at the difference it means to have Benjamin on the field. That's a team that's got a lot of upside ahead. So I got Carolina just a little bit better. They're defensively better than the Steelers. So Carolina slightly ahead at this point.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big Carolina Panther backer, and you look at the division that they play in, and there's no reason to believe they're not going to rack up the W's, Dave, and potentially get a home field slot once again. A dangerous football team. I think their path is a little bit easier, man. You look at the AFC, you know, Pittsburgh's a good team. New England's a good team. You can go down the list. The Denver Broncos, still a dangerous football team, Dave. To me, the Broncos are better this year because they're more confident now. They know they can win. They've got that swagger about them. And Trevor Siemian's making the plays that he's asked to be making.
They're running an offense. And that's the big thing, is that last year, Manning couldn't run Kubiak's playbook. Kubiak wants a quarterback under center. He wants some zone blocking schemes. He's got a lot of different things that, when you execute, come together pretty well. Last year, they couldn't do that. So if Siemian could just be a C-level quarterback, he could be slightly below average, and that will be good enough for Denver to still be in the playoffs.
All right, Dave, so you brought up the Carolina Panthers, and I did a poll on Twitter earlier in the morning. Got hundreds of votes immediately, and I couldn't get to every team, and I pretty much put the best teams because they were undefeated still right now, Dave. Although, really, Carolina, if Gano makes that kick, they're undefeated right now. But I included the Minnesota Vikings in the poll, so I had the Broncos, the Steelers, Bears, the Patriots, and the Vikings. It was about 40%. We had about 200 votes. It was about 40% said the Pats were the best team, 35 Steelers, about 24% Broncos or so. And then the Minnesota Vikings not getting any respect online from my guys. And I think that's probably why they're 16-2 against the spread in their last 18 football games. The Minnesota Vikings only got about 9% of the vote. We got the Vikings and the Panthers this week. Dave, Panthers laying 7. Very interesting early clash.
It is a competitive game. And I'll tell you what's going to be interesting to watch unfold. You'd ordinarily think if you lose Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson, your season's done. Vikings will barely skip a beat because they have so much depth and so many weapons on offense. McKinnon and Asiata, collectively, aren't much of a drop-off from Adrian Peterson off. But, you know, 2 years ago, Peterson only plays one game. Those two guys combined for 1,100 yards, catch almost 100 passes out of the backfield. That's a decent 1-2 punch. And McKinnon, kind of an interesting fantasy guy, that he's going to get probably 65 to 70% of the touches. He'll catch more passes than Asiata. McKinnon's got some sneaky upside. It's a good system for Bradford. And don't neglect the fact that that Minnesota offensive coaching staff has 3 assistants with 21 years of NFL head coaching experience. They're going to be able to figure it out.
You know what I find interesting as well, and obviously AP's a star, fantasy owners no doubt crying right now, but as you stated, you know, they've shown that they can run the football. They got a very good offensive line, and almost a situation in which they almost felt the need. We got to feed AP, and I think they showed a little bit now with Sam Bradford, and I wondered, how come you just don't manage this with Sean Hill? But as you stated, North Turner's a smart guy, and they like Bradford, and we saw the Minnesota Vikings stretch the field. We saw Stephon Diggs absolutely light it up. And, you know, one of the knocks against Minnesota is they were a little conservative and predictable before, Dave. Always running the ball with AP on first down, putting Bridgewater in these must-pass situations. I don't think any team in the NFL ran the ball on first down more than the Vikings did last year. Like in like the 70, 75% range, Dave. I think now they become a little bit less predictable as well. And I think they showed Bradford with, you know, a weak, annoying the playbook, they let him air it out.
And the playbook's going to get bigger. Laquon Treadwell will be getting into the mix possibly as early as this week. That's another good weapon at wideout. So when you look at what the Vikings can do, they've got receivers who can run intermediary routes. They've got guys that can get deep. They've got a tight end they can throw the ball to. They've got a power runner in Asiata. They've got a shifty runner in McKinnon and a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. They can dial a lot of things up. Now it's up to that coaching staff to game plan well, and I would trust their offensive staff to game plan almost as much as any staff in the NFL.
With that being stated, do we trust Bradford getting 7 at Carolina in this spot?
Not just yet. I'd like to have at least one more game under his belt before he's playing from behind on the road, where you really have to open things up. Because even though the Vikings have played without Peterson, it's going to be different for Bradford. Of course, he was there in 2014. This is a week where it might not flow well for the Vikings. This is a week to patch up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to play well, but if they get beat this week, we might start riding their coattails as early as next Sunday.
Yeah, and as I stated, an incredible ATS run. They actually covered that game that they lost against the Seahawks. All right, Dave, the Buffalo Bills are just a complete train wreck. You know, as a Bills fan, you know, I didn't have any expectations as far as the playoffs were concerned, but I was expecting anywhere from a 7-9 to an 8-8, maybe a 9-7 if everything fell into place, and maybe a 6-10 at worst. But, you know, to be honest, I didn't even think they were 6-10, Dave. I didn't think they would be this bad. 2 weeks in right now, yeah, they're only 0-2, but there's a lot of problems. They throw Greg Roman under the bus. Now the owners and the owner's wife, Kim Pegula, meeting with the players behind Rex Ryan's back. You know, this is right out of Any Given Sunday with Cameron Diaz here. It's a complete train wreck. And Dave, there's actually a pattern here, because Terry Pegula, who's a good man, like, nice guy, rich guy, saved Buffalo. You know, he's a saint, patron saint in Western New York. I get it. But when he took over the Buffalo Sabres, you know, he hired bigger names. He brought back guys because they were there before. and he hired Pat LaFontaine, who had no experience. Let me bring back Ted Nolan, because the fans want him. And we see a similar situation now with the Bills, in which, you know, he's a very involved owner, but he doesn't know what he's doing, and he thinks like a fan. At least Jerry Jones won a national championship with Arkansas, Dave, and played football, right? Like, what's your take of Buffalo and them getting 4 points this week against the Cardinals?
Yeah, because at first I thought the firing of Roman was a great move by Ryan, if he had been the one to do it. Because what do you do if you're a head coach and your job's in trouble? You fire the guy who would take over if you got fired. And I thought by getting Roman out of the way, that, you know, geez, we got to stay with Rex because we have no one else to step up. Turns out the owners did have a part. I don't necessarily fault it, though, because I thought Roman did a lousy job in San Francisco, and he wasn't necessarily doing a good job. He was trying to be a little bit too cute. Instead of letting the players make plays, he was trying to fool the defense first and get a little too complicated. But I don't think they could patch it together, because offense is not the issue for this team. It's the defense that has really let them down. And I don't think Rex Ryan or Rob Ryan can coach 2016 NFL defense. Their tactics have gone out of style in modern pro football.
Yeah, and we have Gilmore and Darby, who are actually legitimate, solid NFL defensive backs. I mean, Darby was ranked fifth by Pro Football Focus last year as a rookie. You know, Gilmore's a consensus top 15 caliber DB, but they're playing man-to-man coverage. They're getting abused out there, and already there seems to be a lack of interest in actually tackling, and they're getting worn out. I don't want to fall into this trap because it almost seems too obvious, Dave, but I don't see how the Bills, DBs, and that defense that can't get a rush, I don't see how they're going to slow down this Arizona, that arsenal of wide receivers that they have.
It's going to be very difficult. The issue that Arizona has, and it really showed Sunday, despite how good that scoreboard was, Carson Palmer's missed a lot of throws. His first two games, he hasn't been that good.
Yeah.
He's connected well with Larry Fitzgerald, but his timing's been off just a little bit. So if the Buffalo defense had a pass rush at all, they could disrupt Palmer, but we haven't seen that pass rush.
You know, it's funny, Dave. Every time I do one of these NFL videos in which I break down who's the best team or Super Bowl favorites, I had some Cardinal fans get upset. How come you didn't talk about us in the top five best teams in the league? It's ridiculous. You're an idiot. And quite frankly, I've been the charter president, and founder of the Bruce Arians fan club. But I'm with you, Dave. I think this Arizona team has some holes right now, and I think it starts at the quarterback position.
Yeah, he has underachieved. They're good enough at the receivers and the skill positions to be a better offense than they are. The defense has a lot of upside, though. And this is an interesting one, because it's not just a case of good talent. It's the right kind of talent. They have a lot of versatile players in that back seven who can play different positions. They confused the heck out of Jameis Winston last week. You just wonder what they'll dial up against Tyrod Taylor. And in the first game for an offensive coordinator that's never been an offensive coordinator before, Arizona might make much better in-game adjustments.
All right, Dave, we got a couple of minutes left here. You and I discussed Andrew Luck, and you wrote about some of the deficiencies as far as Andrew Luck's play is concerned. We're going into the fifth season right now of Andrew Luck being in the National Football League, yet there seems to be a built-in excuse often for Luck. Yet here we are right now. They're laying 3 points to the San Diego Chargers. No Keenan Allen, no Danny Woodhead. I don't think much of Chuck Pagano as a head coach, Dave. I think Gus Bradley's probably the first coach to get fired. I don't know what the status is with Irsay and Pagano, where they stand as far as the relationship is concerned right now. But to me, this is a must-win for the Indianapolis Colts.
It is a must-win, and you know what? I think it's a win that they will get, because for all the talk this week about Jimmy Garoppolo, Adrian Peterson, all these high-end players being hurt, none of them mean as much to their teams as Danny Woodhead, because Woodhead isn't just good. He is a specific type of role player that San Diego builds a lot of their offense around. The guy who would replace him is Brandon Oliver, who they sort of drafted to fit that role. Well, guess what? He got hurt back in August. He's not there. They don't have a replacement. So when you add Woodhead on top of Keenan Allen, those two guys were going to catch 120 passes this year, maybe more. They caught over 100 last year. San Diego doesn't have a replacement. The worst injuries are the ones where you have to change your playbook. And that's what the Chargers have to do right now. I think they're going to struggle to adapt to life after Woodhead.
Dave, I want to talk a little college football, but we only have about a minute left right now. I'm in complete agreement, and as a Michigan fan, I'm a little bit worried about what awaits in the final game of the season with this Ohio State team. We're talking about who the best team in the NFL is. You know, after 4 weeks here, or 3 weeks, whatever it's been you want to call it, of college football, Ohio State, they're a young team, but they're damn dangerous. Like, the speed factor that they bring to the table, the aggression, Urban Meyer, you could argue Saban's the best coach. You know, you could also argue Urban Meyer's the best coach. But, you know, two great coaches. Urban Meyer's a great coach. It concerns me, but it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. Let's talk OSU in the future. But as far as a little nugget is concerned, any golden nuggets from Fremont Street Force Dave, college football this week? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, there's something that does a little bit. You know, Brigham Young opened their season with three absolute nutcracker games. At Arizona, went to the final possession. At Utah, went to a two-point conversion in the final minute. Against UCLA, went to the gun. Those were three big emotional games for their program. I could see them being real flat as they fly across the country to play West Virginia. And West Virginia had last week off. So here's your fresh, hungry team with much more speed. I can see Brigham Young wearing down and wearing out in that one.
Dave Malinsky, you can read his daily column over at pregame.com. It'll make your sports betting IQ much higher in about 10 minutes at time. And if your IQ is real quick, you'll read it faster than in 10 minutes. Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir. Excellent insight as always. Thanks for the time.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's the Professor Dave Malinsky, pregame.com daily column. Check it out. Man, I really enjoyed that conversation. I could talk for hours, talk football with Dave for hours. We're going to continue talking football coming up next with Gary and Thorne. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. That was excellent stuff with the Professor Dave Malinsky. Mike Cardano will join us in a couple of moments. Gary and Thorne in studio right now. Gary, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, Gabe?
All right. Well, you should feel pretty good, Gary. And after running the gauntlet, the Miami Dolphins had to open up the season on the road in the Pacific Northwest. Real tough spot. But my Buffalo Bills have to go there on a Monday night. So, yeah. That's not any better of a spot. Then you have to go to Foxborough. Yep. So, you know, they renovated the stadium in Miami. And, yeah, big deal. You can't renovate the neighborhood, can you? Renovate, don't worry about the stadium. Worry about the damn neighborhood that the stadium is in. But that's another story. So they had to open up on the road first couple of weeks. They're playing at home this week against the Cleveland Browns.
They get the short week Thursday night or in Cincinnati. So the gauntlet's not done quite yet.
No, so, yeah, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like the league likes the Miami Dolphins very much.
Didn't rub them the right way. Well, why would they? It's not like they're bringing in any revenue.
All right, so the Dolphins are 9.5-point favorites. A lot of people out there think this is the lock of the century, which should scare you a little bit, considering people think it's like it's an easy win for the Miami Dolphins this week.
I have people coming up to me and talking about how the Dolphins are the obvious survivor pool play, like they haven't watched a Dolphins game in the last decade. It's a scary time to be a Dolphins fan and have people be adoring your team in any fashion like this. I will say, though, it's more about the Browns than it is about the Dolphins. I mean, Cody Kessler, they basically came out and said today that Kessler had the book on Kessler was this guy needs maybe not even a year, but like it's the Bruno Caboclo. He's 2 years away from being 2 years away. He needs some seasoning in the NFL. I'm surprised they didn't go out and try to sign some veteran somewhere. I don't
Dude,
really know
you can give him
right
50
now.
Years, all right? He's never going to be ready for the seasoning.
Exactly.
You're from USC. What more like, he's not like a JUCO guy, right? Oh, he hasn't played in a few years. He was the starting quarterback for the USC Trojan.
If he had
if
come
he
out
ready
his,
now, he ain't ever ready.
If he had come out in his junior season, he was going to be the number one pick in the draft.
So what you're saying, he's about as ready to play in the NFL as Jared Goff is?
I would say so. Yeah, he's about as ready as Jared Goff is. So 9.5 seems like a large point total in this game, and I will say it's probably too big a point spread. The Dolphins have never had a home field advantage, at least not anything tangible in the last 5 years. It's a lot of points for a team that really, in the, let's say, six actual quarters of football they played, I really won't count the second half against the Patriots, where they were pretty much in a prevent defense for most of that game. The Dolphins have had trouble moving the ball at all. They ran 9 plays in the first 3 drives of the game against the Patriots on Sunday. And also, I feel like Adam Gase is going to try to milk the clock in this one. I mean, they should beat the Browns. I feel like they don't need a lot of
drives.
Yeah,
the 9.5, I'm not touching.
It's going to be a slow game. It's going to be a low scoring game.
I'll have
game.
The Dolphins in teasers. Bet them down at 2.5 in case they just win by a field goal. But they wanted to run it up an up-tempo offense. I'm a hell of a lot more positive than you are about your own football team. From an outsider perspective, I look, hey, listen, they battled at Seattle. They didn't quit against New England.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the positives. Now they get Cleveland. In fact, they get 5 of their next football games at home.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, that road game, as you stated, the Cincinnati game.
That's a tough one.
But 5 of their next 6, but then it gets tough down the stretch again on the road. That's the problem. It's a very difficult schedule to navigate this year for the Dolphins.
And as always, if you're the Dolphins, you'd want to have those home games in December. Ryan Tannehill has always played much better in warm weather. He has been known to choke on the road late in the season in snowy Buffalo or snowy New York or snowy.
He might
Foxborough.
Have one of the worst like interdivision records like of all time of a quarterback.
Yeah, he and you know what? I believe, maybe don't quote me on this, but I believe of divisional games in his career, he's beaten the Patriots more than he's beaten the Jets or the Bills, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, and he hasn't beaten the Patriots a lot. We should add.
I will say.
A couple of times.
A couple of times. But I will say the thing about Ryan Tannehill, and I've had this internal struggle over the last couple of days as to whether or not I want the Dolphins to lose a lot of games, maybe get a high draft pick in 2017, maybe take another quarterback. I like Ryan
Tannehill.
You're
not losing that many games, Gary. Come on. You're not the Cleveland Browns.
It's true. They're not the Cleveland Browns. But I will say this. Ryan Tannehill has never, sure, he's got some weapons this year. I'll give him that. But the offensive line play in front of Ryan Tannehill, he's been the most sacked quarterback in the league since he's come into the year. And this season, if you look at Pro Football Focus has this great stat where we don't just talk about attempts and completions. We talk about aimed throws. Throws that the quarterback actually intended to make, not throwaways, not being hit
and he couldn't because it was disrupted.
Exactly. Ryan Tannehill is only actually being able to aim throws on 75% of his dropbacks. 75%. Andrew Luck's at like 77%. Russell Wilson's at like 76%.
That's up to the coaching staff, though, to adjust because if the offensive line, you have to put your quarterback in the best possible position. Yeah. Now, it seems to
that's
me
why
Tannehill,
the team rushing.
We're going to get to this in a second. Yeah, the Miami Dolphins, that's a huge, huge issue. Yeah. Why they can't run the football at all. But, you know, you look at Ryan Tannehill, and I saw on Twitter last week in the first half, he's almost becoming the new Cutler.
Yeah.
In the sense that people just rip him and bash him and, oh, look, Tannehill's sucking again. He's morphed into that social media pinata.
Well, it's tough because he and Cutler are sort of that ilk of quarterback. I mean, Dalton used to be in this class and he made the playoffs and they kind of missed him last season. But there's a bunch of guys who basically have to be
white guys with hot wives that annoy people.
Well, there you go. They do fall into that category. But
sounds
also,
like a sitcom. White guys with hot wives that annoy people.
On CBS this fall. But there's,
can you imagine that Tannehill and Cutler living together?
Kristen Calavari, whatever her name is. But there's like, okay, there's like 15 good to great quarterbacks in the NFL. There's 32 teams in the NFL. Someone's got to play quarterback. And guess
I think
what?
The jury's
Jay
still
Cutler
out.
Jay Cutler and Ryan Tannehill are NFL quarterbacks.
I think the jury's still out on Ryan Tannehill. I really do.
I think he's fringy top 20. That's all you got to do.
We're leaning guilty as far as innocent, but the jury's still out. Look, I'm not ready to convict him yet. There's some evidence, but let's give him a chance. Let's let his lawyer talk a little bit. And that chance is the Cleveland Browns this week. All right. Do you know what? Last week, man, I just got the worst fantasy week ever. So freaking frustrating, man. So I had Devontae Parker. I got him in the Fantasy Cup.
Okay.
Took him as a wide receiver 3. I did drink a bit, but I didn't have a lot of choices because I'm with all these fantasy sharks and all the good wide receivers were gone, right? So I ended up with a wide receiver 3, hearing great things about Parker coming into this year. You know, up-tempo offense, getting dangerous, big playmaker, the speed. He's going to be the guy. Sort of played himself out of favor somehow with Gase in the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't 100%. Wasn't 100%, but really wasn't all that involved. Then comes out of nowhere, boom, 8 catches. What was targeted, like 13 times?
13 times, yeah. One of the highest totals of the weekend.
And it looks like to me he has a great fantasy matchup this week. So is this the week Devontae Parker breaks out?
I would say he's a wide receiver 3 this week, especially in a PPR. You know, he's the type of guy, if he's going to get this volume, I'm not sure if he can expect this volume all the time. As we mentioned before when talking about the betting line for this game, I feel like the pace of this game is going to be a little
bit
slower.
Are they going to try to run the ball?
I think they're going to try to run the ball. You can do that against the Browns.
We should note, they have 52 yards. Their leading rusher has 52 yards. It's Ryan Tannehill.
It is
in fact
Ryan Tannehill.
I had to do a triple take. I was like, that damn CBSSports.com, always wrong.
Yeah.
I went to ESPN. I'm like, nah, man, what is this, for one game? And then finally, after the third, I realized, no, it's true. Yeah. Arian Foster has 47 yards rushing in two games.
Over 16 carries. It's not been pretty, but Tannehill was successful, specifically to Devontae Parker in that second half when they were running that no-huddle, up-tempo offense. He was 27 for 34 when they were running no-huddle. So you'd want them to do that against the Browns, but I think they're going to run a slower pace. But I think Parker still probably can expect somewhere in the realm of 5 to 7 catches.
Yeah, I would expect 6-7 catches, 90-plus yards and a touchdown, etc. I'm of the belief, I'm not in a hurry to be laying 9.5 with the Miami Dolphins, but I do think the Dolphins probably win like 27-6 or something like that.
They did have a similar type game last season. There was questions about whether or not Tannehill was going to be taken out of the lineup by Coach Philbin at the time, that Matt Moore could step in. And we know now, in hindsight, that Joe Philbin did not like Ryan Tannehill at all, but they ended up playing Oakland in London and beat the crap out of the Raiders. So this kind of has a similar vibe to it, but still, 9.5 points.
You know who else didn't like Tannehill? Mika Grimes, Brett Grimes' wife. You know what I don't like, Mika? Your loser husband dropping certain interceptions in the end zone against the Arizona Cardinals when I have the Buccaneers plus the points. Why don't you go on a Twitter rampage about your loser husband that can't cover anybody and can't catch an STD in a Mexican brothel?
I met Mika Grimes at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo. She was very nice.
She took
my picture with me and Brent.
Seems like my type of woman, actually. Yeah, likes to drink. She's loud. How about the fact that Jim Harbaugh is like, I love Harbaugh. I love everything about Harbaugh. Harbaugh says that only candy-ass sissies drink scale or 1% milk.
People forget chocolate.
I totally agree with that. Like, I would never drink like 1%. I'm like, ugh. Like,
milk is 1%.
But unless there's chocolate in it.
Well, there you go. Okay.
That's fine. But we're talking, and I got to be honest, I haven't drank milk that hasn't had chocolate in it in years.
I think I read somewhere this week that adults aren't supposed to drink milk.
Do you drink milk?
No. No. Since I was like 8. So why would you drink milk? It's summer. Milk was a bad choice.
You never drink milk, huh? Never?
It's been like 10 years. It's been a while. I put milk in my food sometimes. Cereal, maybe?
I don't eat cereal.
Yeah, neither do I, really.
No. Like I said, honestly, I haven't had milk that hasn't had chocolate in it. And like, the only milk I've had, I make scrambled eggs and I put
milk
in that.
Yeah, you put milk in there, yeah.
That's about it.
I have trouble.
And even then, I make sure I buy the 3%. I want my milk and the cows like fat. You know what I mean? Like extra fat. Like people like Kramer, yeah. I want, you know, when I see chips, no fat. I'm like, who told you to take the fat out? Just because some other guy's got an issue with his weight doesn't mean I do. I want as much MSG, as much fat, and as much concrete. Pave the earth. Pave it all. That's my rant. All right, Blue Jays, big game. How about this? Rick Porcello, yep. Jay Happ.
I know.
If somebody told you before the season these guys are going to win a combined 40 games,
I wouldn't believe it.
You would probably have told him, all right, I'll give you $10 million.
Yeah.
Like,
whatever you want the odds on that, yeah.
You know, in England, you can just walk in and make your own bets up, right? You can come in. Yeah, yeah. You can go in and say, yeah, my son's 4 years old. He's going to score a goal for Team England in 22 years.
Oh, this is the Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, you can do any crazy bet. Yeah. It's like, what are the odds, really? Like, 2 million to 1, 5 million to 1. Like, what are the odds that Jay Happ and Rick Porcello won 40-plus games this year, Gary?
It's pretty crazy. I would say you'd probably get like 75, 100 to 1 on that. Like,
75, 100 to 1.
They do play for Boston.
The Miami Dolphins are 75 to 1.
Oh, that's true.
They're not even. They're probably like 30 to 1.
Probably
which,
higher than that. But I will say this game tonight, I'm not feeling really strongly about either side, but I am feeling pretty strong about the over, Gabe. It's 8 runs in this game.
I like the under.
You like the under?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Happ has not been as good.
Seattle Mariners averaged 2.4 runs per game in their last 5. Iwakuma on the Hill Mariners, he's been an under machine. I'm going under.
I just feel like both those guys guys, there's a combined 35 wins on the mound tonight. I think people are going to see that number and think it's going to go under. But both give up a lot of home runs. And J-Hap specifically is a guy who 19 of his 22 home runs have been given up to right-handed batters. The Mariners are a team that can put a bunch of right-handed bats, platoon-type bats, into their order each day. And he's been walking guys the last three or four starts. That is when J-Hap starts to get dangerous. Iwakuma has been good. He's still not really striking anybody out. His FIP has been really high, even after the All-Star break, since he's been winning these games. So I think it's kind of a mirage with him, too.
It's a guaranteed winner, because he's giving the over, I'm giving the under. Under eight. All right, we got to get you out of here, but quickly, Cubs are a big-time World Series favorites right now. They're plus 200. There's a big drop-off to the Nationals at 5-1. The Rangers at 6-1. Red Sox, 6.5-1. I think the Los Angeles Dodgers are a dark horse right now. Plus 750 with that lethal pitching that they have, veterans and the kids.
Yeah.
Mixing it up. Good mix of youth veterans going on here.
Well, that's actually a point I really like about the Dodgers being a dark horse, and it's why I like the Red Sox at plus 650, because right now, A, they have a pretty large four-game lead over the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays, and they get the one series they have left with the Jays is in Boston, so you're probably going to have them win that division. Texas, I mean, by base runs and all the luck-based stats this season, have been a pretty lucky team. They shouldn't have won this many games. They're very, very good in one-run games. That's kind of a luck-based stat. They do have a pretty good bullpen, though. But the thing about the National League and why it's kind of so hard to pick and feel confident about a World Series pick from the National League is every team in the National League has such good quality top-end pitching
to
throw at you. It's a gauntlet in the National League. I think Boston...
Anyone can beat anyone.
Anyone can beat anyone. Boston, I think, is the clear best team in the American League.
I'm not... You know, I love Dusty Baker, but I'm not sold on the Nationals that they're going to be able to do it. And, you know, I think the Dodgers, this could be their year, especially if they get San Francisco out of the way. All right, we got to get out of here. Mike Cardano joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. Man, swear to God, I don't know why Drew does this to me. Right? He never says anything during the entire commercial break. And then right before I come back for the break, he always says something extreme to me. He's like, oh, I just traded for Sammy Watkins. I'm thinking, what would you, I guess, you try to buy when the stock's low. Let's bring in, speaking of a man who knows a thing or two about stocks, Mike Cardano, the Wall Street Wizard, joins us. What's up, Mike?
What's going on? Following Gary, here comes Gary and comes with a plethora of stats.
Yeah, yeah, you like that? What do you like that nickname, the Wall Street Wizard?
Yeah, listen, I've been called worse.
Yeah, I just got to say, you've been called a hell of a lot. I've called you worse.
I am worse.
Yeah, you are. So, all right, Mike, a lot of stuff to get to. Me and Gary were just talking. We were talking about skim milk a little bit. And Jim Harbaugh saying he doesn't drink skim milk or 1% milk. And I agree with Harbaugh. Skim milk's for girls and women. Like, seriously. You know, there's a lot. I got to make a list of things that should only be done by women. It's like gymnastics, figure skating, skim milk. We can go down the list.
You must watch your figure, Gabe. You're a slim guy.
No, I don't know. I got like crazy genetics, man. I eat like a pig, man, and it just goes right through me. It's all the gambling. It stresses me out. Keeps me thin. Yeah. So you and I have talked a lot about the Dodgers, man. Bip Roberts, manager of the year. They're pulling away. The Giants are falling apart, man. They want to fight even now. They're getting frustrated. Kershaw outduels Bumgarner last night. Dodgers delivering the final nails in the Giants' coffin, although the Giants are still in the wild card mix. But do you think the Giants will fade so much that they play themselves out of the wild card?
Listen, at this point, they are so deep in it. We were talking about this before on Out of Bounds here on my show. They had the best record in baseball before the All-Star break. They were 57-33. That had them on pace for 103 victories. They are 22-38, 367 winning percentage since the All-Star break. That would put them on pace for 103 losses. They went from best to worst, and they're just heading the wrong way. I think it's too late to turn this thing around. You could see the frustration last night. You know, for once, it really wasn't Puig's fault. He didn't do anything. Bumgarner instigated that. So if he's going to be falling apart and not being composed, they got a shot.
You know what it is, though, Mike? You remember the old, like, the Friday the 13th? Movies, you know, like Jason terrorizes the kids at the camp, and then at the end they think Jason's finally dead, and then they're like, oh, everything's okay, I love you, and then they hug, and then Jason pops out of the water, and you're, oh, he's back. I swear, man, until I see the corpse, it's like Bin Laden. I don't believe until I see the corpse, Mike. I need to see the Giants' corpse.
You know, a big problem here is Buster Posey's not healthy. He's just not. You can see in his hitting, and as evidenced by his defense, He was throwing 44% of runners out in the first half of the year. Second half, only 22% of base runners is he throwing out. Brandon Belt's hitting only 223, 150 points lower in slugging percentage than the first half. The bullpen's falling apart.
Terrible.
They just don't have the horses at this point and enough healthy ones. They just don't.
Their bullpen's awful. That's been a major problem for them. All right, Mike, so it's nice to see that Pete Carroll is, Pete Carroll's just like he was at USC. He plays it right by the book, Mike. He never violates any rules at all. Hey, he's a real stickler for rules, Pete Carroll.
So, Gabe, this is the second time they violated the same offense. They got fined $400,000 this time, $300,000 in 2014. And, you know, they're having contact when they're not supposed to during the offseason. It's violating the collective bargaining agreement. And listen, no matter how you look at it, it's cheating. It's a rule. You're not supposed to do it. You're gaining advantage if you're doing it in the other
team. Should it be worse than a fifth-round pick, Mike? Now it's the second time. Should they say, you know what? You guys keep doing this, we're going to raise it up a notch. Second-round pick. First-round pick.
Well, they forfeited their OTAs for the first week of next year as well, in addition to that. And this time, I think Pete Carroll's on the hook for $200,000 personally as well. So the penalties are getting stiffer. Is it a huge thing? No, I think what happened here was two players who weren't wearing helmets actually bumped heads, and that's how the investigation started. So, memo to Pete Carroll, if you're going to hit, at least have your players wear helmets.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to rip Pete Carroll too much because it's pretty clear that Rex Ryan doesn't spend a lot of time teaching his guys how to tackle because the Buffalo Bills are a train wreck. He throws Greg Roman under the bus, but his brother Rob is safe right now. This is an embarrassment. And now the owners are meeting behind Rex Ryan's back with the players. Rex Ryan supposedly furious. It's come out that the Greg Roman told people that Rex is a buffoon and it basically it's tarnished his reputation even working with Rex Ryan. This thing's getting uglier than I even imagined, Mike.
So here's the thing. You know, Ryan is supposed to be a defensive wizard. His brother is too. His father was. The whole family, right? Well, you would think if you know how to play defense, you know what's hard to run an offense against, you would try to do what's hard to stop on your offense. I mean, I don't see how hard this is. He knows what's hard to stop. Why doesn't he just try to do that on offense? He's never been able to do this since he's been in the league. There's no way this guy can get a job after this. There's just no way.
No, he's done. He'll get a job, and you know what?
Not a head coach.
Let's not rip him too much, because we could have a spot for him right here, because I think he'll be great on television.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be great. My guess is he's on ESPN or the CBS morning show, Mike, the pregame show next year. He's going to be great on TV.
Well, he's jovial. The media loves him, right? So he'll be good in the media, but he's not good where he is.
All right. We're going to find out how good Jacoby Brissett is. Watching as much college football as I do. Watched this kid a lot at NC State, and he was a better than average quarterback at NC State. He wasn't great. Sort of a modern, shotgun, dual threat quarterback, but he is athletic, and truth be told, there's probably not much of a difference between him and Dak Prescott. I think Dak might be a little bit more advanced as far as, Dak's a very intelligent guy. He really gets playbooks. He was basically a four-year guy. Brissett, maybe not quite as football smart as Dak is, but I don't really have a reason to doubt him, and I'm not betting against the Patriots here. You?
Hey, Gabe, we think about it that way because we see Dak Prescott, and he started the year as the Cowboys starting quarterback. But Brissett was picked as the 91st player in the draft. Prescott went at 135.
Good point.
He was picked way ahead of him. Wasn't even close. The player, who was the quarterback? Driscoll? I think that beat out Brissett. He got drafted after Brissett as well in college. So, listen, Belichick knows what he's doing. He's got another find here. All he's got to do is manage the game. I don't see how it happens this week with the Houston defense. The Houston offense has been firing on all cylinders. If you can't pick a team against New England on a particular week this week, then you can't pick against them at all, and they're going to just run the table all year. I'm going to take Houston this week. I'm going to take the 3 points as well. Houston's playing really well. I just don't think they're going to be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat again. They're going to go with their best wide receiver as the backup quarterback. something's just not right there.
All right, and we wrap it up. We've got a couple of minutes. We've got about a minute and a half or two here. Mike, the Browns and the Dolphins. Gary and Thorne was just in studio. You're a Jet guy. I'm a Bills guy. He's a Dolphin guy. I guess we're all just negative on our teams because Gary's like, the Dolphins suck, and I don't even trust them to beat the Browns. I brought it up earlier in the week. You know, the Patriots are a great dynasty, but they're like a college football team that plays in a crappy conference. You know, the Patriots have been dominating against the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills, who were all useless. Like, well, all three of organizations are just clueless losers, joke of franchises. But with that being stated, Miami, they're the tough. They go to Seattle. They go to New England. I think this is a feel-good game in their newly renovated stadium, and they smoke the Cleveland Browns like 27-6.
Yeah, this is more about Cleveland having a problem at this point with their new quarterback than it is about the Dolphins. And I see this one. Listen, sometimes the money is flowing on the Dolphins hard here, and sometimes the masses are just right. I see this one very much like when the Dolphins went to London last year and they were reeling and they just laid one on. I think this is a huge game for the Dolphins this week, and I think Cleveland's really in trouble.
Mike Cardano, Roto expert and the Wall Street Wizard. Always a pleasure, Mike.
All right, take care.
There's Mike Cardano with us. We take a quick break. We come back with our plays of the day. For our plays of the day, let's start off on the Major League Baseball diamond. We got Baltimore and Boston. The Red Sox got it done last night and are scorching. And I think the Boston Red Sox are legitimate World Series contenders. And right now, I'd say Los Angeles and Boston play in the World Series. I'm not buying into the Cubs yet that they get it done in the playoffs. But with all that being stated, tonight I like Baltimore. Rodriguez hasn't been very good on the road. Gausman's been great. Some must-win for Baltimore. I like the Orioles tonight, minus the 40 cents. The Angels are in one of their funks. The Rangers are rolling along right now. We're going to lay the 70 cents with the Rangers. Not a fan of laying this big price, but I think the Rangers get it done tonight. We're at this time of the year right now, and don't look now, but the St. Louis Cardinals are winning baseball games. And the St. Louis Cardinals are a lot like San Francisco. They might look unassuming during the regular season, but they're a bitch to deal with in the postseason. I think the Cards get it done tonight against the Rockies. We got the Giants and the Dodgers on tap tonight. We got Cueto and Rich Hill. Generally, I don't like taking unders when it's this low, but let's go under 7 runs. I think we had a real low-scoring ball game like last night's was. Blue Jays and Mariners, man. Jay Happ gunning for his 20th win. You got to be freaking kidding me. This game goes under the number, under 8 runs. Little hockey for you. They're dropping a puck in a couple of minutes here. Finland and Sweden under 5 tonight. Canada versus the USA. We'll lay a puck and a half with the Canadians, and we wrap it up. This tournament's been playing to the under, actually. Every game has gone under the number, except there's been one push, and one game went over the number. Make it 2 games go over the number. I think the Canadians and the Americans light up the lamp a little bit this evening. Canada's probably going to win like 4-2, 5-2, something like that. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program today. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.